2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse number 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you? Or letters of commendation from you? Now, let me just stop here for a minute and talk a little bit about that verse. Because you remember that the church at Corinth was born out of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. This is his second letter back to that church. And he's saying to them, do we have to have a letter of commendation or recommendation? It got me to thinking about Brother Robert Holmes years ago told us about how that in Nigeria, if you're going to travel from one church, let's just say that you're going to be traveling across country and you're not going to be in your church, but you're going to be in another church. You're going to visit another church while you're traveling in another part of the country. You have to carry with you a letter from the pastor in Nigeria that says you're in good standing with that church when you go visit this other church. And if you don't, then you have to sit on the back seat. Now, that's in Nigeria. You don't have to do that here. But you have to have a letter of recommendation. The same thing is true for people that are involved in ministry, that there would have to be letters of recommendation. He's talking about that. Then he goes on to say, you're our epistle, you're our letter, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. He's saying, I don't need a letter because I've got you. I invested in you. And the church in Corinth, and that church, that city was a large city. It was a pagan city. It was a city that was without God. And the Apostle Paul went there preaching the gospel, declaring the truth of Jesus Christ, and the fire was ignited in Corinth, and a church was born, and the entire city was affected by it. I don't mean that everybody was born again, but there were many people that were saved, and a very strong church was established in Corinth. And these two letters were written by the Apostle Paul back to that church, correcting problems, letting them know of his oversight and his concern and his love for them. But he said, I don't have to have a letter because I've got you. You are the evidence of what God has done through our ministry there in Corinth. You're the evidence of that. Verse 3. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. I want to ask you a question tonight, and this applies to everyone, regardless of your age. Doesn't matter. Because if you are a Christian and you're 10 years old or 15 years old or 25 or 35 or 55 or 75 or 85, it doesn't make any difference. Where you are right now in your walk with the Lord, you need to think very seriously about this question. What does God have for me to do from this day forward? From this day forward. What does God have for me to do? Now, you can live with the regrets and say, well, I wish I would have done that or this. I wish I would have lived this particular way or done that work or that ministry. Those days are in the past. Very little you can do about that. But there are some things you can do about today and the coming days. There are some things that we can do, and we need to ask ourselves that question. Lord, what do you want me to do? What is your plan for me from this day forward? Because everyone is a minister. Everyone. That doesn't mean necessarily you're going to stand behind a pulpit and preach, but it is the plan of God for everyone to be a minister. Everyone. And that is a very broad term that has a lot of different types different ways that you can serve or minister in the work of the kingdom of God. But I do believe that we all should be asking ourselves the question, Lord, from this day forward, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Do you know that it's born in the heart of every one of us? And those of you who have children or grandchildren, you know, you've witnessed this, little children, when they're very, very young, I mean, when they just get big enough to crawl around on the floor and just little toddlers, they start to determine an interest in a particular direction. And they'll even tell you, I want to be a fireman, or I want to be a policeman, or I want, and they have this idea of what they want to be in the future. It's because, now, they may not become what they say when they're a two-year-old, but it confirms the reality that everyone has a desire to become something, to do something with their life, and to do something of purpose and value. Amen. Everyone that's born has a desire to do something with their life. And everyone that is born again, then there's a whole new shift in your desire when you become a Christian, because then you realize that we all have a place in the kingdom of God. We all have a purpose. We all have a calling, and that we need to look at what God wants to do with us, because we were all born again with a purpose and a calling. Every one of us. No exceptions here tonight. All of us have a purpose. We all have a calling. Each one has your individual gifts that God has given to you. Each one of you have your individual divine abilities. And sometimes those gifts and abilities can be, you know, you can grow them and develop them and improve them. And that's good and wonderful. But when you become a Christian, then you should be asking yourself the question, Lord, what do you want to do with my life? What do you want to do? What's your purpose for me? How do you want to be glorified in my life? And that's how really faith grows and faith is expanded in our life. When we begin to investigate and explore the possibilities of what God wants to do with our life. And I said, it's for anyone. Some of you that are older, kind of like me, you may be thinking, well, my better days are behind me. And I don't know that I have much to offer. And that is ridiculous. That is foolish thinking. Because if you're 60 or 70 or 80 or whatever age that you are, you have a divine purpose all the way till the end. And you take your last breath in this world, you have a divine purpose in this life. Amen. And through that, give glory to God and to bring glory to God all the days of your life. And faith requires you to investigate that, to expand that, and to develop that in your life at whatever stage that you might be in. Little children are thinking about what they're going to become. Young people are thinking about their future, and they're going to be making decisions, they say, between the ages of 16 and 26. Those are the 10 most critical years of a young person's life, because they make most of their life decisions during that time. Many of their life decisions are made in that span of years in their life. So don't you think it should be really important, young people, especially if you fall into that age group, for you to be really seeking God and really asking the Lord, Lord, what is it you want me to do? Lord, what is your purpose for me? I've got ideas about what I want to do and what interests that I have, but Lord, what about you? What is your purpose and your calling for me. As I said, just because we are all called to be a minister doesn't mean that you will necessarily preach the gospel, publicly preach the gospel, but it does mean that we all will fulfill and we should be searching and looking for those ways that we can serve in the kingdom of God and be used of God and develop our gifts so that we can glorify God in all the ways that He's created us and made us so that we can do things that are going to bring fulfillment. Amen. And that's the great fulfillment in life. It's when you have given your life to something bigger than yourself, and there's nothing bigger than the work of the kingdom. Amen. That's why we admire the missionaries so much. We read their newsletters and hear their testimonies when they come, and where they have been and what they have done, and many times they have left behind maybe even other jobs and careers. Many times that's happened. Left behind their normal pursuit because God put His hand on their life and said, this is what I want you to do. This is where I want you to go. If you'll hear my voice, then pay attention to what I want to do. And this is what gives to every one of us the credibility. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. He went into that big city of Corinth. He preached the gospel, and that city was pagan, in great need. And God used him and lit the fires of revival in Corinth, and a church was born in revival. And now he's saying, that's my credibility. I don't need a letter. I just want you to look at the lives that are changed. What I did in obedience to God, and I traveled to that city and I preached the gospel, that's what gives me my credibility, because there's a church there, and there is many lives that have been changed, and the gospel has been preached, and that has given me the credibility that I need to go forth and continue doing what God has called me to do. Amen. Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Because he knew that his life testimony, that people were going to see that. It was going to be evident in his life. They were going to see that he had done something that was just not temporal, but it was eternal. And that it was making a difference in the lives and the eternal lives of people. Amen. You know, your life is an open letter. You've heard of people say it's an open book. Your life is open to the world. The world doesn't have to spend much time around you, but what they real quickly determine what the priorities of your life is. They'll figure it out. If your love is just for the things of this world, for possessions in this world, if you're just working to have things of this world, people pick up on that really quick. But if they know and they can see and read through your life testimony that the thing that's most important to you is glorifying God, giving honor to God, touching the lives of people, seeing people's lives changed and turned around, people pick up on that real quick. They see if you're real, if you're genuine, if you have a real testimony that you love people and you love God and you want to be used of the Lord. You are an open book. That's your credibility. That's the thing that the world sees. They pick up on that real quick. There have been in recent weeks and months, major high-profile ministers, preachers that have been, who have fallen into sin and immorality, and it does great, great damage. This has happened many times over the years when some ministry or a preacher or a pastor falls into some terrible sin and then brings a mockery, brings a reproach on the work of the ministry. It's hard to recover from that sometimes. I remember many years ago knocking on doors with a group of people from church, knocking on doors and people asking me at the door, is your church like Jimmy Swaggart's? This is right about the time when all of that happened and all of that terrible stuff that happened associated with Swaggart's ministry, and we had to live it down. We had to try to not identify with that. When we're talking to people about the Lord, oh, what damage is done to the kingdom when people don't live up to their profession of faith. And how important it is that we be a people that are genuine and real, and we have the credibility that our life is a life lived out for God and is a testimony for the Lord, and that there are those lives that have been touched and affected by our influence and our ministry. Nothing more wonderful than that. Amen. And you can be a part of it. Not just preaching. It can be in a lot of different ministries. Touching the lives of people. Helping people. Blessing people. Encouraging folks into the kingdom of God. Praying for people. Praying them into the kingdom of God. And making a spiritual investment in people that are in need. The world sees your commitment, your dedication, your holy life. They see that. You're our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. That's the testimony. Known and read of all men. Verse 3, for as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle, the letter of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Amen. Making it obvious to the world that those people in the city of Corinth had truly been born again, and now they are a living letter, a testimony of what of the ministry that Paul and his team had as they traveled into the city of Corinth. They were the living witness, the living testimony, amen, by the Spirit of God. You know that really nothing in ministry gets done unless there is the working and the moving of the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. I mean, you can work at it, you can do your best, you can try really hard, but if there is not that obvious touch of the Spirit of God, if there is not that anointing of the Spirit of God upon your life, then you're not going to really make the mark. You're not going to really see the change and see lives affected for the glory of God. Written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. The mark of the Spirit of God was upon all those believers in that church in the city of Corinth and their life. Everywhere they went, every word they said, everything that they did in that church, it all was a commendation to what the ministry of the Spirit had accomplished in them. This is what the Holy Ghost has done. This is what God's Spirit has done. Changing lives, bringing people to repentance, to know the Lord in a personal way. But with the Spirit, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart. This, of course, is referring to the fact that the Old Testament law, those laws were written on tables of stone. And all of those laws pointed to their failures. It pointed out their sin. And the law of God made them aware of how they were coming up short. And the law was limited. The law had its purpose, but it was limited. There had to be the gospel, the message of the gospel of Jesus, the New Testament, the work of the Spirit that causes a person that's in their sin to be completely changed. It's an undeniable thing when there is a work of the Spirit of God. Amen. It's undeniable. Remember there in Acts chapter 6, Stephen began to speak in defense of his life and his testimony, giving his testimony. And when he did, it says that those elders could not resist the power and the spirit by which he spake. It was irresistible. There was, and so much so that they had the word, the King James word is the word suborned. They suborned, or they paid people. They were so under the effect of the power of Stephen's life and influence that they couldn't do. And so instead they hired people to come up against him, to resist him, and to try to stop him, because the Spirit of the Lord had done such a work through the influence of Stephen's life. Amen. Don't you just love to be around people who are filled with the Spirit? And it's so obvious that they are. It just comes out of every part of their life, every conversation, everything that they're doing and they're involved in. It always gets back to God. It always gets back to the things of God. And there is an obvious work of the Spirit of God in them. Those are wonderful people to be around. Amen. When the Spirit, the influence of the Spirit is upon your heart, then there's no doubt. It's great proof of the work of God that's real in your life, because the Holy Spirit of God is upon you. Praise God. Hallelujah. What do you think that the Lord has for you to do? That ought to be an important part of your prayer and your prayer time. Every age group, especially younger folks, but really all of us here, whatever stage or age in life you are in, who knows what God might want to do through you? Who knows what his plan might be? If you would just make yourself available to the Lord, we can't even really comprehend what God can do with somebody like you or me, somebody that's 60 or 70 or 80 or older. Amen. God can use you. God can use you. God can put his hand upon your life and use you if you'll make yourself available to the Lord. And of course, especially young folks, you need the touch of God upon your life. You need to pray and seek the Lord. And sure, it's wonderful. Make plans for your future. But don't make your plan and then just kind of include God. And God, you can go with me. Don't do it that way. Make sure that when you make your plan that God is at the center of it all. And you're doing what you're doing to serve God more effectively, to bring glory and honor to the Lord in all that you do. Because everybody is called to be a minister. Everybody is called to serve in the kingdom of God. Some sing and some don't. Some have other purposes, other callings, other gifts that you might have. And when you understand the touch of God and the call of God, develop that. Work in that. Ask the Lord to use you in that capacity. Ask him to help you, to strengthen you, to help you to be better, to improve in those areas that God has called you to do. Amen. Verse 6, it says, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. Able ministers. Our divine ability comes from God. How many times have you heard people say, well, I'd really like to do that, but I don't think I could ever do it. I just don't have the ability. I don't have that gifting or that ability to do that. How do you know it until you try it? If God's put his hand upon you and he's calling you to some task or some ministry or to serve in some capacity, and maybe you've never ever done it before, but how do you know you couldn't ever do it? If God's calling you to do it, he's going to enable you. He's making us. He'll make us able ministers of the New Testament. He'll give us the qualifying ability. He'll qualify us, that it'll be undeniable that the touch of God, the working of the Spirit of God is upon your life. Amen. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit, the work of the Spirit of God upon your life. Amen. Amen. And you know, there's really no greater joy. I've mentioned this a lot of times, but some of the greatest miracles that I've ever witnessed has been hanging out with missionaries, hanging around with people that have just sold out and given themselves to God. I'm telling you that every time we have a meeting such as we're going to have in a few weeks, I spend time with some of these people, I see their sacrifice, I see their willingness to lay it all down, to give it all up, to put it all on the line, to give it all up for the work of the kingdom of God. God moves supernaturally for them. God works supernaturally for them. And oh, what a blessing it is to see the power of God at work in the lives of people that commit their life and their future into the hands of the Lord. What is it that God wants you to do? Remember when Jeremiah received his calling? I mean, Jeremiah, a mighty man of God, a mighty prophet of God. But Jeremiah, he had kind of a natural response to this big call of God. It's in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 4. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying..." Now, this shows us that God can come and speak personally to you, individually to you. Amen. To you about your life and your future, your days. I know none of us know how many days we've got left in this world. Maybe some of you have 5 years, some others 10, maybe others 20 or 25 years, and some a lot more than that, if Jesus tarries. But you know that God can speak to you individually about you, your life, and your future from this day forward. He can do that. He can talk to you about your life in a personal message. "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." Praise God. Amen. There's not anything about you that God doesn't know. So don't throw up all the excuses and all the reasons why you cannot. Because if God says, "This is what I want you to do," then He will equip you to do it. And even before you were born, God knew your purpose. God knew your future. He knew your calling. He knew your gifts and your abilities. "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee." The word just means set apart. Isn't that interesting? That before you were even born, God set you apart for the calling and the ministry that He wants you to involve in. Praise God. He set you apart for that. Amen. And we live our lives running here and there, doing all kinds of things, and without even giving God the time that we should, because God, not only has He called us, but even before we were born, He has set us apart for His divine purpose in our life. Don't miss out on that. Don't miss out on what God has for you and He has purposed for you in your life. "Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Set apart to be a prophet to the nations. Now that was Jeremiah's specific calling. It's likely not your calling or my calling, but that was his. God had a purpose for him, for his time that he lived in, for the circumstances, the world that he was born into, all that was going on in his world and his nation. God knew all of that. He knew what it was going to be. Do you understand that God knew the mess we were going to be in 2020? And who knows about 2021? God knew all about all these things. And He called us. He called us for this time. He called us for this purpose, for these times. He called Jeremiah to be a prophet to the nations, to speak to the nations that were around him and that were he was a part of, his particular time, his generation, and his the world, the culture that he was born into. God already planned to use him in the middle of all of that mess. And God's doing the same thing for you and me. Lord, what do you want me to do in 2021? What do you want me to do this year? What do you want me to do in the coming years? What is your purpose? What is your plan? You already see in the future. You already know how it's all going to work out and how things are going to be developing over these next few years. You know the future, and you have planned to work in my life in the middle of all this. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. That God can use us for his purpose, whatever that calling and that purpose might be. He said that. Then he said, say not, I am a child. Immediately, that was his response in verse 6. Oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. He was saying, I'm too young. I'm too young. I can't be the voice you want me to be. I can't be the prophet you want me to be. I'm young. Don't call me for this. And he argued with God, and God said, don't say, I'm a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Amen. If God calls you to speak, he can give you words. Whatever that might be. Whatever. And it can speak to the present need and the present circumstance of your life and the world that God has allowed you to be born into. Praise God. Amen. I could have never imagined, I know no one could imagine what was going to happen this past year. Most everybody was caught off guard by that. We didn't know, but God knew. And he knows what's happening next month and 6 months from now and in these next coming weeks and months. He knows all about it. And he has called us and equipped us for the challenge. Amen. Whatever that it might be, whatever that we might face. I really do believe that this is a season that God wants to bring people into the kingdom of God. Right here at these last moments of time before Jesus comes, he wants us to be doing something, busy for the kingdom, listening to the voice of God, and then being used of the Lord. So ask the Lord. Ask the Lord, and ask him tonight. When we come around this altar, when you kneel to pray, be sincere and ask the Lord, Lord, I've got some ideas about what I want to do in my future, but Lord, I know that more important is what you want. More important is your plan. What does God have for you to do in 2021? What does he want you to do this year to face the challenge of this year? And then if you ask him, you need to expect an answer. Amen. You need to realize that he's going to speak to you, because he is looking for people that are willing to fulfill their calling. Everyone is a minister. Everybody. It's called of God to serve in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you've blessed us to be a part of the work of your kingdom in these last days. And I know, Lord, that everyone that's a part of this meeting tonight, if they'll be honest, Lord, before your presence, Lord, you've got your hand on them too. You've got your hand upon them, and you want to do some things through each individual life. The young folks in this meeting, Lord, speak to their heart about the future. Lord, help them to dedicate themselves and their lives and their futures to you. Help them to be willing, Lord, to say, whatever, Lord, you ask me to do, I'll do it. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. I'll step out in faith. I'll do my best to follow your will for my life. Praise God. Be honest before the Lord. Listen to the voice of the Lord. and let him know that you're willing. Lord, I'll serve. Lord, I'll minister. Whatever place, whatever capacity, I'll do it. Hallelujah. I'll do it, Lord. I'll do your will.